What was that?
Keep Me True.
Keep Me True. Okay. That's 2 weeks in a row. You're going to have to stop that, Linda. You have to play some I know. Well, I'm glad that you're here this morning. I appreciate you so much being here. Would you take your Bible and turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 25? 1 Samuel 25 is where we'll be. I read this chapter this week, and although we had studied the books of 1 and 2 Samuel 10, 11 years ago, this chapter meant something to me, along the lines with some of Brother Chris's latest messages about exhorting your brother and sister in Christ and being there for them and encouraging them. And so as I look at the life of King David, just by way of introduction, I grow a little tired of watching all those years in David's life when he ran for his life from King Saul. King Saul was out to get him, take him down, murder him, do away with him because he was jealous. And so I often think, well, how unfair it is for a man of God, a man whose heart was tender for the Lord's leading, could be so ruthlessly tormented by the top man in the nation, King Saul, and yet that's what has happened. And this morning we come to this chapter and we find three individuals very quickly. Nabal, he was a businessman and he was in it to make money. He tried to make money to the exclusion of everybody in his family, all of his friends, because money was the most important things. He couldn't love other people because he loved money. And then we have Nabal's wife, Abigail. Okay, Abigail was a good woman. She was the Bible said, a woman of understanding. And then we have the third person, who is David. And here David's just trying to overcome the misfortune of being on the run and being the bullseye of David's arrows. And not only that, but he's lost his mentor, King, or the prophet Samuel. Samuel has been such a great influence for young David, and he's gone off the scene at this time. He's probably been gone about a year, and so he probably misses him. And David has an opportunity in this chapter. If he had gone one way, if he had gone the other way, if he had not have listened to good advice, then he would have had another tragedy in his life, just like he had with Bathsheba. That sin with Bathsheba caused him much misery in his own heart. And we know David was a man after God's own heart, but he was a man. And he failed, and he did not live up to what he was supposed to do. So we're going to read this chapter in here in just a minute, and I've called it When Good Advice Stops Bad Decisions. But I'll leave it up to you to know whether or not to know what good advice is. But let's start in verse number 1. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house in Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Now, the last time we heard about Samuel, if you're going through the book of Samuel, the last time we hear about him is when he's got this school of prophets, and David's there, and Saul sends people to come and take David's life, to bring him back so they can do away with him. And it doesn't work, and he sends multiple people. You know the story. And finally, Saul comes himself, and he couldn't do it either. But Samuel was a man that was so close to the Lord. He was a great mentor to David. He was a great teacher. And so He is the one that has been, God has used tremendously in the life of David. And this has to be at least to some point on David's mind. And so verse number 2 says, and there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal. The name of his wife, Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. Now, what's interesting here, I'd hate to have Nabal's name because it literally means a fool. You know, Nabal was part of Caleb's family. Caleb was a good man who loved the Lord, but he received land as part of being part of Caleb's family. He received land, and evidently he was a smart businessman, and he made his little empire grow. But the only thing he got good from his family, that he inherited from his family, was that land, because this Nabal was not a good man. The Bible says he was churlish, and that means he was a cynic. He was sneaky, and you couldn't trust him. He was deceitful. And the Bible says he was evil in his doings. And so he was a man that was not honest, honorable, or you couldn't trust him. His philosophy was get all you can and from whoever you can. And he was married to Abigail. And Abigail means the joy of her father. That means he was proud of her. Okay, and the Bible says that she had a beautiful countenance and she had good understanding. You'll appreciate that here in just a minute. And verse 4 says, "And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men and said unto the young men, Get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast." Now, it's important to note here that this was a time when Nabal and his workers and his entire camp would have plenty to eat. It's cotton harvesting time, so to speak. They're shearing the animals, and they're getting all the wool off their skin. And so during that time, there's a great harvest, and a lot of food is brought in. And cotton is a great commodity back then. It was in great demand, so he made a lot of money off of this, I'm sure, because the cotton brought a good price. So he had plenty of money, plenty of food, and had plenty of stuff to go around. And so verse number 7 says, "And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them, all the while they were in Carmel. Ask the young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand and to thy servants." So David has 600 men, and he's in another location, okay? And the food must be running scarce. We don't know the exact details of the story, but David sends these young men to Nabal's camp, and all he asks for is, he's asking for whatever Nabal can spare. Hey, whatever you've got that can spare, please give it to us. We need it. And by the way, David says, when your men was with us, we protected them. And we were fair to them. We didn't treat them bad. We didn't take anything from them. And so all I'm asking for in return is a little help, because we are in this situation that we're in. So basically, David has these men go in as messengers, and David says, listen, tell Nabal to ask his own men how they were treated in my camp, and he'll find out that they were treated well. All David wants is just a little bit of the abundance, a little whatever abundance Nabal could spare to help him and his men out. And verse 9 says, "And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master." Now, it's one thing to be cautious, but we know Nabal was not being cautious here. He was just an evil, churlish man. And he couldn't have said just no. This kind of individual couldn't just give an answer and be done away with it. He had to resort to being critical of David and to casting David in a poor light. Who are you to come to me and ask for help? And many times God's people are degraded and defamed by those who would seek to do justice to them and to God. And so that's where David is right now. And Nabal says, "Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" Now, mind you, before you want to defend Nabal in your mind, Nabal's own men were with David. They knew them, okay? David extended kindness to them, and I am sure that got around to Nabal's ears when he heard about it. So he knew the situation. He just didn't want to help him. And so the Bible says, "So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told all those sayings." And in verse 13, we see David's response. "And David said unto his men, Gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff." Now, we look at David's life, and he is an example to the nth degree. But he's also an example of a man who has fallen a number of times. We mentioned the incident with Bathsheba, caused great pain upon his family, caused a great misfortune in his family, caused misery upon his life and in his family's life. Well, here David is going to have another reaction of being a man. David doesn't take this news well. He's mad. All he's asked for is a little bit of help. And Nabal says, "No, who are you for me to give anything that I have to you?" And when David hears this, his reaction, he feels slighted. He's asking for the smallest act of kindness, and yet, and they extended kindness to his men when they were with them, but that doesn't matter. Now the shoe's on the other foot. He needs the kindness, and he's not going to get it. Now, when you're in this position, it's very common, it's very easy to feel like your kindness to people has been wasted. You know what I'm saying. You've gone out of your way to be kind, to be special, to fulfill a need to somebody, and then down the road they don't return your kindness, and you feel like you wasted your kindness. You feel like you've been used. Well, I'm here to tell you, God sees all, and God knows all. And David, if he were in the right mind, if he was being controlled by God's Spirit, he'd let this go. But he jumps to the conclusion that he's got to take 400 men from his ranks, and he's got to go take care of Nabal. Nabal's going to get his. I'm going to see to it that he's going to get his. And we should never think that, but once again, we are human, we're flawed, and Satan uses our emotions and our passions to sometimes get us in trouble, and David was almost there in this chapter. Verse 14 says, "But one of the young men, one of David's young men, told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us, both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep." So this young man simply goes to, one of Nabal's young men goes to Abigail and says, "Listen, these guys were good to us, and they protected us." That's what verse 16 means. They were a wall unto us. Now we later find out that during that time, the Philistines had come, and they had tried to rain on David's camp at one point, and David's people protected these men from Nabal's camp. And so this young man is being very wise in going to Abigail, because he's got to know her. The Bible also said she's a woman of good understanding, so she probably has a reputation for having a head on her shoulders, some common sense. And we need to be around people with common sense. Amen? I mean, Abigail was one of those women, one of those people that you could be around and you could absorb her understanding. So this young man goes to her in attempt to help the situation. And verse 17 says, "Now therefore know and consider what that will do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." Now, this young man wasn't really criticizing his boss, Nabal, but he was just saying the facts. Nabal, you know how your husband is, Abigail, and you need to step in here because we're all going to get wiped out. And so, as verse number 3 told us, Abigail's a woman of good understanding. She contemplates all this. And this is not a man-woman thing, by the way. There's women who have good understanding. There's men who have good understanding, and vice versa. You know, we have bad understanding sometimes. The point is this right here. This young man had the good understanding to go and seek help from somebody else that had good understanding to try to figure out what to do in this situation. And the Bible says in verse 18, "Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses." Now, you don't even have to know the detail of measurements of food to know that that was a lot of food. I'm hungry already. There's a lot of food here, and Abigail puts it all together. And she says in verse 19, she said unto her servants, "Go on before me. Behold, I come after you." But she told not her husband Nabal. Now, let's talk about that for just a minute. They're married, okay? And I believe in a good marriage where both spouses trust each other and have confidence that your spouse will do the right thing. There's no need to sneak around. But in this marriage, she was married to a fool, and she knew it. He was a fool. He was reckless. He was angry. He was given to bouts of rage, obviously, and evidently couldn't see two inches in front of his nose. So basically, Abigail has to pull all this food together, sneak out of the house, and take this food and this drink without her husband's knowledge. And so she sent her servants ahead of her. Now that shows her wisdom once again. She knew the hot-headed man that she was about to meet. He was mad. And she knew she was going to meet a man with anger. So her servants were going to go ahead of her with these gifts to try to soften David up as he was coming toward them with his 400 men. Very, very wise move. Proverbs 21 verse 14 says, "A gift in secret pacifieth anger." And that's what she was doing. Oh, David's going to be mad. And he may be so mad that he just dismissed me right away. Or maybe he's mad enough to do harm to me. I don't know. I'm going to send all this food ahead and all these men. And we're going to soften him up. And maybe by the time I get there, he'll be okay. And verse 20 says, "And it was so as she rode on the ass that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. And David said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good." David's basically saying, man, we just wasted our time protecting them. We fed them, we protected them, and now that we need it from them, it's not happening. So I've just wasted my time. And so David says in verse 22, "So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain to him by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall." That means David's going to kill every man in the camp. That's how mad he is. Do you see how far we can go sometimes as people? Well, we love David and the example that he showed us and his faith to the Lord. But he's so mad right now, he's in a rage. He doesn't want to go just kill Nabal. He's going to take all the men out. He's going to kill all the men. Now, that part of David is not a part after God's own heart. But he was a man, and he was slighted, and so he's angry, and he feels like he has to do what he has to do. Matthew Henry says, "What is the best of men when God leaves them to themselves to try them, that they may know what is in their hearts?" Right now, David is laying open, bare his heart. He's laying open what's in his heart, and God sees it. And that's why we come to this place 2 or 3 times a week. That's why we read our Bible. Because I got to tell you, this heart can get awful messed up, and I need a tune-up every 2 or 3 times a week. And then I need it at home. Because we get messed up and we don't think right and we start thinking stupid. And God's word helps us along the way. And verse 23 says, "And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, 'Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid.'" Now notice how humble she was here. She didn't criticize him or put him down. Oh, she could have let him have it. "David, you're a man of God. Don't you know that you shouldn't be doing this? I mean, I know Nabal was wrong, my husband was wrong, but you're doing wrong." No, she didn't do that. She didn't proceed to tell him all that he was doing wrong for vowing to kill her husband and all the men, but she offered to take the blame upon herself. Her humility led the way. What a difference between Abigail and Nabal. She was humble enough to take the blame upon herself when she actually had nothing to do with it. This was a woman of understanding. This was a woman who knew the right thing to say and the right thing to do when it came time for it. In my life, I have had the privilege to see and the privilege to be around and the privilege to have in my family some of the best examples of those type of women. Just women who had a balance in their head. They could balance their church life with their home and do the right things in both. And when things would go haywire and emotions would be right up here, they would have the fortitude to do the right thing, say the right thing. That's who Abigail was. I've told you several times, and I say this when I get through different parts of Scripture, but when I get to heaven, there's some people I won't talk to. And one of them's David, and certainly Samuel. I want to talk to Samuel, the prophet, the judge, you know. I want to talk to Jonathan, David's best friend, you know. And I want to talk to Jonathan's assistant. But Abigail has made the list. And I just want to shake her hand or give her a hug and say, "Abigail, that was a great thing you did for your family. That was a wise and wonderful thing that you did for your husband, that idiot, but he's still your husband, and you did this for him and your family." And verse 25 says, "Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal." Now this is Abigail talking. The wife is talking here. She says, "David, don't worry about my husband. For as his name is, so is he." Oh, he's a fool. I've lived with this guy for a while. He's a fool. "Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send." Abigail's just trying to convince David to ignore the things that's flaring him up and making him mad. And she's soothing it over by telling the truth. Hey, he's a fool. Don't alter your life and don't put yourself in a bad light with your Lord, because when you do this thing, it's going to be a blight on his approval of you. You have no right taking the life of all these men because of Nabal. And so she says, just ignore him. In verse 26, "Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood." And now listen, there's no record of him even agreeing to do this, okay? The Bible has not said that David said, "Okay, yeah, I'll not do that. You're right. I'm going to take your advice." No, she's just saying, she's taken for granted that he's going to do the right thing. Now, I'm stopping there. I don't have the time to stop there. I'm stopping there because there's another point that I've benefited from over and over and over. People have given me the benefit of the advantage, or they've given me the benefit of the advantage without me having to actually deserve it. Has it happened to you? I mean, people. Sometimes you do something and it looks questionable, but I've had so many people not jump the guns and pound on me. They've given me the benefit of the advantage. I'll remember that after class is over, and I'll tell you what it is next week. There's a good phrase in there somewhere, and I can't place it. But here Abigail says, listen, Seeing the Lord has withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with your own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. She just takes it for granted that David has changed his mind. And verse 27, now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Once again, she's showing good understanding here. David, if you do the right thing, God's going to bless you for it. He's going to be on your side, and he's going to take care of you if you do the right thing. Verse 29, yet a man is risen to pursue thee. That's King Saul. She says, listen, I know you're running from King Saul, and he's seeking your soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine enemies, then shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. Now look, that verse right, that little phrase right there, bound, the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. That was a saying back then. It was a great phrase back then, used to describe the remarkable confidence that the protection and the blessing that God would give somebody when they did his bidding, when they did the right thing. And verse 30 says, and it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he had spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. Now I've got 3 minutes, and I wish I could finish this lesson out, this chapter out. But listen, let's take this home with us. David was on a path that was going to cause him pain. He was going to cause the murder of hundreds of men. I don't know how many Nabal had, but they were all going to die. And they were going to pay for Nabal's stupidity. And David was on that path till God put this woman in his path right in front of him, and slowed him down and gave him some good advice. When good advice stops bad people. When good advice stops bad things happening to people. Now, I know it's so hard to listen to good advice. You know, the only advice that's easy to take is advice that's directed to somebody else. You know, have you noticed that? Oh boy, you get advice, and sometimes somebody, I've come to appreciate our friendship with Brother Strunk. Of course, Valerie, you know, that's her childhood pastor. But sometimes he'll say something to me, maybe something that's happening in my life or in the church life here or something, and he'll say it to me, and sometimes I just think, and sometimes I say it because we're very frank with each other, and I just tell him, I don't like that. And he told me one time, you need to hear that. You know, and I appreciate that, because if we're friends, if we're brothers and sisters in Christ, now we got to do it in love, we got to do it in fairness and in good judgment and with biblical wisdom and a prayed up heart. But if we're brothers in Christ and we love each other, if I'm going down a bad path, I want you guys to do what you can to get me back on. You know what I'm saying? And David just had the fortitude, he had the insight to listen to this woman of good understanding, Abigail. Aren't you glad of that? If he had not have listened to Abigail, we would be reading in our Bibles about yet another blight on his life that he had caused. The murder of so many men because one man made him angry and he wanted to get revenge. God help us to listen to good advice. Would you pray with me?